And we're going to talk first about human behavior, but our class is on understanding people. So you can get along with people. Tonight is just an introduction. I'm going to just tell it, what I've learned over the years. Human behavior. Well, two things I've developed this from is, one, from the study of the Sermon on the Mount, and two, from four passages of Scripture in the Bible in which there was conflict. And so that's where I've developed it from. Human behavior is, first of all, outward. That is which all can see. You came in here tonight and you walked in a way and talked in a way and sit in a certain way and look a certain way. Everything you did was outward in action. And everywhere you go, people are doing outward things. It's clear to see. People can easily see that. Secondly is an inward heart, which is hidden from all except it is expressed in the outward expression of a person's life. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 5, in the outward, he said, "You've heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment." Now, I'm not getting into the definition of that. It simply is, I define that as outward. To murder, is what he's talking about, take someone's life. You may not have seen it happen, but it's an outward act that someone does. Then Jesus talked about the inward. "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." Now, I'm not talking yet into the details of that. He's not talking about literally saying those things. But he's talking about an attitude. And he said, the Pharisees, well, just because outwardly you haven't murdered anybody doesn't mean that your heart is right. And if you're angry in your heart with someone, you already are guilty. Because God sees the heart. In Matthew 5:33, he says, "Again, you have heard that it has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatever more than these cometh of evil." Now, what does he mean by that? It means simply this. He's not talking about that you can't go into a courtroom and swear upon the Bible. What he's talking about in the Old Testament, when people wanted to declare they were going to do something, they would say, "I swear by God that I will do this." It wasn't done all the time, but it was done. And you're not to make a false swearing, and you make a legitimate swearing. You're going to tell the truth. Well, what the Pharisees did, they found a way around that. They used the outward to hide their inward heart. Because what they did is this. Since they would swear by something else like earth or heaven, not the name of God, then that justified their inward heart of lying. That's what Jesus is talking about. He's not saying that you do not go and take an oath, but they were doing it all the time. Okay, I'm telling the truth. This car has a brand new engine in it. And I swear by heaven. Oh, you did? Yeah, but I was lying because I didn't swear by God. Do you see the difference? They were outwardly hiding what was an inward heart of lying. But both are together, an outward and an inward. The outward action is what you can see. The act of murder, the using of different names, in an oath. And I want to boil down human behavior simply to outward and inward. I'm not going to make it any more complicated than that. We are always doing something outward. Now, it don't even have to be we're doing something religious or sinful or good. We're always doing something outward. I'm standing up here outward holding a microphone. I'm standing behind a little podium here. I'm not up there. I don't have my suit on tonight. There's a lot of things we do outwardly that everybody can see it. Micah, one time when I used to teach on Sunday night. I would teach at a certain time, and I'd quit. Well, one time, I went 5 minutes over. And Micah came up to me after, he's a little boy, and said, Daddy, you got long-winded tonight. Now, he didn't mean I was long-winded, but as a little child, he could see. He saw I went past what I normally did. Now, he can see that. Children can see the outward. It's for everybody to see. But then you have the inward. Anger against a person, an attitude of lying and deception. An attitude is a way of thinking about something that can affect the emotions. For example, thinking about a person with hatred or intense dislike is the attitude which brings anger. Attitude is a thinking. It's a thinking about something. And thinking about using deception to get something I want is the attitude of lying. When you find someone and they have an attitude, a good or a bad attitude, it don't matter. It can be a good or a bad, but they have a heart attitude. It's because they think a certain way about something, and it's an attitude. I don't mean in a bad way. The next aspect of inward is motive. The Pharisees did something outward. And he said, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street. That was their outward action. They love to stand out there and pray out in the streets where people walk by. They love to pray out there where everyone could see them. But what was their inward? It was a motive. The motive was that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So there's two things. There's outward action that comes out of an inward heart, either of an attitude or a motive. The Pharisees' motive was to be seen. And Jesus said, well, good, they got their reward. Now, your motive by cooking supper, or your motive by doing something in the church, may be out of a very good motive of being loving and kind, but you're doing something that everybody can see. I want you to see that distinction. There's a distinction between the inward and the outward. The inward heart of attitude, motive, and emotion cannot be seen or fully known. Now, I want to make this point I'll talk about later on. I don't know what's in your heart. I have no idea. I don't want your motive. Now, I might guess, well, you know, I know why so-and-so did that. I bet their motive was they wanted to show out. I have no idea. I can't look at your motive. I can't figure out your attitude. Now, if you come in here and you chew me out and say I hate your gut, well, I might can figure out something about your attitude there. But let me say this very carefully. When we talk about thou shalt not judge, oftentimes we Christians are judging what we think is in people's hearts. You know why I think they did that? Why? And we take a motive. You can't do that. I don't know what's in your heart. Neither can you take an outward action and practices which can be clearly seen, but it's not to be a judgment on what's going on in the inward. Now, I want you to imagine tonight if I had a secret camera back here, and I videoed all of you while I spoke, and then I went home and I went frame by frame by frame looking at the expressions on your face, and I would go, oh, yeah, I know they liked that one. Oh, they didn't like that one. Oh, now tell me a question. Would that be absolutely futile? Yes. I don't know what you're thinking by looking at you. And if someone doesn't speak to you, that doesn't necessarily mean they hate you. It just means they might have had something on their mind. So you can't determine hearts. Now this is the key. I don't know what's in your heart. And I can't tell by your actions what's in your heart. Only God knows her. Paul said in Corinthians that he says, as far as I know, I've been as faithful to the Lord as I can be. But he said, I leave the rest to God because he's the ultimate judge. And people are judging all the time people's behavior and saying, I bet they did that for that reason, or I bet they're having whatever. You can't do that. You don't know. I have no idea what you're thinking right now. You could be thinking, oh my goodness, when will this be over with? Or you could be thinking, I'm enjoying this. Or you could be thinking, what's the preacher talking about? I have no idea. Now, if you stood up and said, that was stupid sermon, preacher, then I might have an idea. But I can't judge your heart by anything you do. But having said that, inward heart will express itself in outward acts and practices. Though I cannot judge your heart, there's one way I can determine something. The inward heart will express itself in outward acts and practices, and often those outward acts will attach themselves to something concrete from which the conflict arises. Now, what do you mean, preacher? You walk in a room. Hey, Bill. They walk by. They walk by. Well, you could have a reaction because they did an outward thing. I bet they don't like me. I bet they're mad at me. It's not that I'm talking about their outward actions will oftentimes reflect themselves in a very concrete way. And that concrete way is what causes the conflict. Now, I'm going to give you some illustrations to help you understand what I'm talking about. In the book of Genesis, the Bible says this, and Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. There was a strife. Conflict. What caused it? It's pretty simple. The land. The land. Now, you could say it this way. They had too much flock, not enough land, but however you say it, the land is what caused the conflict. Now, if they had never had the problem with having enough land, if they had never had a problem with having too much herd, they would have never had a conflict. Now, they might have had a conflict, but it wouldn't have been over that. The land is what caused the conflict. It is the outward thing that caused the conflict. Secondly, in Corinthians. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, and I'm Cephas, and I'm of Christ. They're fighting in the book of Corinth. And they're fighting over preacher. Wait a minute. I like Paul. No, I like Apollos. No, Lord. I like Cephas. No, that's Peter. I like him. No, I'm not into preachers. I'm into Christ. They were fighting. And what's that over? People. Something you can clearly see. Now, if they'd only had one preacher that preached to them, but all three preached to them, and because all four preached to them, that became a controversy. And so the outward act of having different preachers caused them to have conflict over which one they liked better than the other. It was the people that caused the conflict. But here's my point. Something much deeper lies than that little thing. There's something much bigger going on than that. The Pharisees. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which are of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. Now, they're not talking about, oh, he didn't wash his hands before he ate. He's talking about they didn't do it in the ritual way. But the elders taught. What's that conflict over? Washing hands. Now, if they had never had any problem with washing hands, there'd have been no conflict. Now, there would have been a conflict on other things because that's where the Pharisees were. But on that occasion, there would have been no conflict if Jesus had just done what they liked. Another time. And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said to them, behold, why do they on the seventh day that which is not lawful? Now, what was the problem? They're gathering food on the Sabbath. Now, if they had done it on Friday, I don't think the Pharisees would have got mad. But because they did it on the Sabbath, Pharisees got mad. Wait a minute, you're gathering food. All three of these, or three situations, are conflicts which arose out of something outward, but the reason it happened goes much deeper. Did you know an island is basically a mountain in the ocean? And when you look out at the island and say, wow, but beneath that island is thousands of feet of mountain. The fight was not really over food. It was something much deeper than that. But the food, the land, became the fire point, became the conflict. That's what caused it. Now, if I never get up here and I just stand here and I never preach a sermon and I never say a word, I never do it anyway, you're not going to get mad at me because I ain't doing nothing. Well, you might get mad at me because I'm not doing my job. But as soon as I open my mouth and start talking and preaching and telling things and saying things, you're more apt to maybe have a reaction. Until I say, or if I do something different, you're more apt to have a reaction. Now, not that you will, but the outward is what caused it. Now I want to show you the last one. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city. This was their second missionary journey. Let's go again and visit our brethren in every city where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now this is the second missionary journey, and Barnabas said, well, come on, Paul, let's take John Mark with us. John Mark became the flashpoint, a person. Here's what happened. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the world. In other words, he quit. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas, sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Now here are two spiritual giants, and what happened? It was such a sharp contention, they had to go their separate ways. But what was it over with? John Mark. Now there's a reason that goes much deeper than John Mark, but he was the flashpoint between the two. John Mark was the person. Inward heart expresses itself into outward acts and practices, and often those outward acts attach themselves to something concrete from which conflict arrives. Now, I want to give you a few illustrations to kind of illustrate my point. Church I was in, they had, it was shaped different with this. It had kind of a barrier here. And right there, they had two small little plaques. And on those plaques, they had names of people that were just real small. One was in memory of, and one was in honor of. A preacher came and said, that's not right, and he moved the plaque. Boy, it made a lady awfully mad. She did everything she could. She got rid of it. They said, that's just being silly. No, there's a reason. I knew the reason when I went. You know what I did? I didn't move the plaque. When we were getting ready to build a fellowship hall, I remember one of the dear ladies way back, you don't need to know, way back, we were talking. And I don't even know if it was about a gymnasium or not. But she said to me, we were talking one night, she said, well, I don't know what you think, preacher, but I don't believe in the church having a gymnasium. Why is that? I just don't believe it because the church is separate, is holy, and having a gymnasium is wrong. Now, that very same week, I went to visit someone in the nursing home, and another lady had come in. And while I was visiting them, I was telling him about the fellowship hall we were going to build. You know what she said? Well, preacher, you better build a gymnasium, because if you don't, children won't come and young people won't come. Now, wouldn't it have been fun to have them on the same committee? been a great committee. I'm going to tell you something. There's a reason. If you don't know the reason, you can't help them. What's going on the outward is not a gymnasium. That's not the real problem. Something much deeper going on. I'll give you a good example. I think you ladies can understand this one. When Dee and I were first married, Dee was from Iowa. They had different food than we had. She was serving me broccoli. And I love broccoli. But when I was growing up, I don't believe I ever ate a piece of broccoli in my whole life. And so how was it? It was good, good. And so I said, well, could you make some cream corn? Sure, sure. I'll make you some cream corn. So she made me some cream corn. Now, you ladies know how you make cream corn. You scrape the juice off the corn. You know what Deanne did? Just what they do in Iowa. She cooked up some corn, poured some cream over it. And she said it in front of me. You know what she said? How was the corn? Now, I said the right thing. But ladies, don't try to tell me why. But what if I had said this? Well, it's not the way my mother makes it. What happened to your wife? Oh, she went off crying in the bedroom. Why? I don't know. I was just talking about cream corn. And what if I didn't mean anything by it? Because my mother did make cream corn different the way she made it. Would I be off the hook then? No. But there's a reason why. You may not know the reason why. That's what we're going to teach you. You think it's the cream corn. That's not what it's about. It's something much deeper than that. And thank the Lord I had enough sense, early marriage, to not comment on the cream corn. Later on, she found out from Mother that Christmas, we married in November, found out how to make cream corn, and now I'm the result of it. So that's the problem. You go to churches. Churches do things different. Some, I've been to churches, they run up and down the aisle, shout. Some of them raise their hands. Some have a projector up here and sing songs. Some of them have a praise team up here. We sing out of a hymnal. Some people don't like it. Some people like it. Preachers preach different. I heard a man say one time, we got rid of that preacher. Well, why'd you get rid of him? He read his sermon. Oh, I bet he read his sermon. Hey, read his sermon. That's why you got rid of him. That's a reason. He don't know the reason, but I know the reason. It wasn't because he read his sermon. There's something much deeper going on than that. Someone said one time, I tell you what, we have got some spiritual men in our church. You do? Yeah. They will cry. Well, if I don't cry, you mean I'm not spiritual? There's a reason. The reason why people get upset, the reason why you have conflict, but listen to me very carefully, it's the outward something. A word said, a word not said. An item, like a thing on the front, a cream corn. It's something. And if you don't understand people, now listen very carefully. I'm not talking about, in every case I'm going to tell you, I'm not talking about judging the heart, because I have no idea what was in the lady's heart that didn't want the plaque removed. I don't really know what was in Deanne's heart, but I do know a reason for why the conflict came, because I studied these four examples. One is easily solved. One is more difficult to be solved. One is almost impossible to be solved. And the fourth one cannot be solved. Paul and Barnabas split. It was not solved. And that's okay. And I'll tell you why. And I'll explain why. Now, we're not talking about judging. Oh, I know what's in your heart. But in all four cases, there's a reason why people do what we do, why we do what we do. Now, when I, if I had said about Deanne cream corn, you understand? Oh, you don't make a lot of my mother. Oh, that went over real well. Now, why? Well, you might think you have a reason, but I'll tell you why. And I didn't have to know what was in Deanne's heart. I didn't have to know what was in that lady's heart. I don't know what have to know what's anybody's heart. I just know the reasons. And when they pop up, I go, huh? And there's some Christian things you can do once you understand people, and there's some Christian things you can do to remove some of the conflict. Now, I will say this, and I will close. The more you spend on outward things, commenting on them and having opinions on them, the more apt you are to hurt someone's feelings or cause conflict. Now, I'll explain to you why. Years ago, with a person, they were having surgery in a small area, and the pink lady came up to me, and she heard I was a preacher, you know, and we talked a little bit. And I was sitting there watching TV, you know, Andy Griffith was on, some other things were on, and she goes, "I don't watch TV much myself." Oh, okay. No big deal. She came up to me later on and said, you know what I did one time? Everybody in this place had their face in a phone or a computer. And there's one man reading a book. You know what I stood up and I said to all those people, "Would you old folks notice something's wrong here?" And they said, "What?" This is the only man reading a book. Now, let me ask you a question. Did that need to be said? No. Did that hurt someone's feelings? Maybe. Did it create a little tension? Yes. The more you observe outward and are critical of it and have an opinion about it, the more apt you are to hurt someone's feelings or to create controversy. Now, have I already made you mad yet? We ain't even got started yet. When I get that last part, you're probably going to split and say, "That's it, we're leaving." But I will tell you this, if you can understand, I'm not talking about judging a single heart, but if you can understand the reasons that cause behavior, you can have a little more wisdom in how to be encouraged. And what it really boils down to is being Christian and being kind and gracious. Say, "Well, preacher, I don't understand all the reasons you gave." When we get through, you say, "I have no idea what you're talking about." Well, let me tell you how to solve that. Just be kind and gracious, and you'll cover most of it. You'll just cover most of it. Everybody still my friend? All right, let's pray. Father, we love you, and I really do pray, Lord. These are things I have practiced. These are not things I just thought of. These are things I have practiced for probably 30-plus years. They're a little bit clearer in my mind now, but I have practiced them, Lord. And I pray it will encourage people. I do not want to harm anyone or make fun of anyone or hurt anyone or rebuke anyone. That's not the whole point of this. But just to help understand people so you can better relate and not harm and cause some troubles. Sometimes they will come. And we may not be able to do anything about them, but help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.